Welcome to The Download here on WGN Radio and WGNRadio.com. I'm Justin Kaufman. I'm very excited to have a co-host for this episode of The Download, Mary Sandberg, who is my co-host on the Cochran Show in the morning. Good to see you, Mary.
Good to see you, too. I'm very selective of the content I will participate in, and I jumped at the chance for this.
Is a document. This conversation we're going to have with Gabe Polsky was one that we wanted to have on the Cochran Show, so both of us watched this great documentary, which I'm going to set up in just a second. So we're looking forward to the conversation here on The Download. The new documentary is called In Search of Greatness. It's in theaters now. It features several high-profile athletes and explores what sets them apart. Whether it's Wayne Gretzky or Jerry Rice or Serena Williams or Tom Brady, the athletes don't measure up when it comes to, say, the 40-yard dash, but more about work ethic and creativity. The film is directed by Gabe Polsky. He's an award-winning filmmaker who brought us the great hockey documentary, The Red Army, which was about the famed Soviet Union national team. This film, In Search of Greatness, has already got Oscar buzz, and Gabe Polsky's in studio with us now. Gabe, thanks for being here.
Yeah, no, it's a pleasure.
This is such a fascinating documentary because right away when you talk about sports documentaries and it's going to be Tom Brady and you're going to have, you know, Jerry Rice, you're like, okay, this is going to be about how they're better than everybody else. But it's not about how tall they are. It's not about how fast they are. It's really about creativity and really getting to the science behind what makes someone not just a great athlete, but the best.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think sort of the genesis of this film is I just felt that, you know, people, although we sort of consume sports voraciously, I've always thought kind of growing up as an athlete too, very competitive, that we somehow don't even fully understand what the true essence of greatness is. And so I always thought, you know, when I go to the stadium and watch Patrick Kane or, you know, Walter Payton here in Chicago or Michael Jordan, you know, I was going there because I wanted to see something amazing happen, something creative, something that I've never seen before. And those guys were artists. That's what they were doing. You know, they were doing things that other people weren't doing, which is what, by definition, what creativity is. But then when I sort of went home and, you know, and went to practice, none of the coaches or sort of anyone was talking about creativity or sort of how important it was. In fact, if you were trying to do anything creative, you're oftentimes found yourself on the bench or because you weren't listening to the coach or whatever, or you're thought of as a show off or, you know. So it was kind of a paradox, and you know, I really wanted to kind of go to the greatest athletes of all time and find out sort of what they thought, what they were doing, and really get into these guys' heads and hearts, you know.
It's so true. I mean, you hear so much about the great athletes of our time or of any time about the intangibles, but you do. I mean, it's always you work harder than everybody else, and you will be the best. Or there seems to be a formula from the beginning coaches to the end. They're like, this is how you do it. And in the documentary, when talking to these athletes that have done things in front of us that no one else has done, you recognize it may be less of a formula and more of a moment.
Yeah. Well, the moment greatness is not a formula. It's. In fact, that's the definition of not greatness. You know, greatness is like I said, somebody who is not going by the formula, who's not sort of following slogans or this. That they have to. You have to find your own. Everyone has to find their own great. It's not copying what's been done before. It's always people that are doing something different. You know, like just as an example, you know, Tom Brady. Obviously.
Right.
You know, he was very low in his combine scores. No one ever thought he was going to be
the
anything.
The footage of watching Tom Brady run the 40 is strange.
Yeah. Right. So here's a guy that, you know, looked at himself and sort of said, okay, I've got these qualities that don't look good. Now, what do I do? How do I be creative? How can I succeed? And basically Gretzky was the exact same way. You know, he was not very big. He couldn't bench press, you know, 100 pounds and, you know, basically, but he was able to understand the game on another level. And that's not necessarily sort of a genetic thing. It's because he was forced to, because that's what he had to do, you know? So he, you know, studied the game and used his imagination to devise ways to succeed, you know?
One of the gentlemen in the documentary had said that a common quality that they found with all greatness is the rage to master.
Yes.
And the ability to learn quickly, and how not everybody has those two things, and it's when those two things intersect that you end up with somebody like a Wayne Gretzky or a Jerry Rice. And the one thing that I thought was so fascinating is that their obsession with knowing what the other people that they compete against were doing. You know, Wayne Gretzky said he watched every single game of every other player. He knew everybody's points. You know, that all led to his obsession for how he was going to dominate and execute what he wanted to do. And that they thought about it and played it in their head over and over and over again. So then when you're actually doing it, you've already been there. You've already done it.
You don't have to think. There's no thinking involved. It's just you're there and you're doing it. But yeah, it's interesting, you know, Rage to Master. I mean, everybody knows sort of how hard these guys work and people who are professional athletes. But, you know, we call it hard work and that's what we tell our kids. But really what we see in the movie is just how much joy these people have for what they're doing. It's like that's all they want to do. It's not like even work for them. They just like, you know, love it so much and it becomes almost like an OCD behavior. That's all they want to do. They don't want to go to the movies. It's not a sacrifice for them. All they want to do is play their game and sort of master it to that level. You can call it rage. You can call it joy. There's a lot of names for it, but
that's interesting. The OCD quality, because you see it in the documentary. Jerry Rice has a point where he's throwing the football to himself when he's going to bed. He turns the lights off. He just wants a feel of the football, and it becomes almost a routine. It becomes what, you know, you wash your hands, brush your teeth, and throw the football in the dark to yourself. There is an OCD quality to some of these athletes, these artists, and it goes beyond creativity. It almost borders into obsession.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, like you're saying, I mean, throwing the ball in the dark, in a dark room and feeling it and but that right there is sort of using your imagination, sort of going back to that. And Gretzky, an example in the film, is him watching a game on television as a child and like basically tracing where the puck was going. You know, that's basically a kid left alone to sort of just to imagine what can I do or just play around and a lot of great things can come from just, you know, leaving a kid alone and letting him kind of just try things out.
So that you bring up that story of Gretzky as a kid. The actual look of the film is very interesting. It's not just sit-down interviews. You have footage, things, and then there's a lot of graphic things. And even the way the footage are in floating boxes, it comes at you. I felt like I was a part of greatness when I'm watching it. You know, it's all flying at you. What was first? You wanted to talk to these people first, or you had the footage and you thought, I want to use this somehow, or I want to, like, somehow interweave, like, from a creative standpoint, what did you set out to do there?
The first thing is obviously having kind of a general idea of what I was sort of looking to do with this film and you know, really understand greatness and sort of how creativity plays a role in that. And then I knew no one was going to listen to Gabe Polsky, because why should they? The only way to really get people to listen is to get the greatest of all time, you know? And so that was first and foremost. You know, I wouldn't have a film that people would watch unless I had people that they wanted to hear, you know? So that process took about a year to kind of get access to these athletes, you know, and you know, Wayne Gretzky, Jerry Rice, Pelé, and then and kind of you start from there, and then the structure, because this film is about ideas and sort of themes, it was fairly unconventional structure. It wasn't your traditional narrative, and so I had to really figure that out and work my way through that.
Were the athletes, were they open to this concept? Did they see themselves as imaginative, creative, being outside the box and want to tell their story? Or was it something that they were guarded about?
Well, that was actually one of the biggest sort of surprises of this whole process, was that how excited they were to when I started talking about these things with them and discussing it. They want to talk about this. They consider themselves poets and artists and they see themselves that way, and that's how they see sport. And nobody really asked them about that, for them, I think it was, you know, I could see their eyes light up. I don't think any of them really even knew what I was doing. And, you know, I kind of had to go through their agents and managers. So they really had no idea. But when I started going and kind of getting in, look, I'm not trying to get these sort of, you know, cliche things. I'm really trying to get deep into this. And I consider you guys, you know, the one of the, you know, just as creative as a filmmaker or whatever, anyone in any field. And they're really excited to
you
talk
know,
about
it. Mary, it's funny because I always think, and you mentioned the coaches at young ages, just this idea of how they coach the game, and creativity and imagination is not a part of the game plan. And whenever an athlete does something like take dance, ballet, it almost is looked upon like, what a funny little quirky story. And they stop short of making fun of it. Is it part of a culture that they don't want to accept that there's imagination, creativity, and a lot of the same things that go into being an artist or being someone in an artistic profession that is similar to being in sport? I mean, is it just a cultural thing that they don't, they see that to be limited? I don't understand why they don't embrace it.
Well, I think that anytime you're sort of doing something that's a little bit different in any field, you sort of, you confront resistance. People don't like new things, and they sort of, we get stuck in our ways, and anyone who's sort of doing something, that guy, look at that guy. But I think it really has to do with jealousy and kind of, oh, that guy's, he has the balls to do something new, and, you know, and then they get mad because they're jealous, I think.
Also, people don't always know how to embrace
new ideas.
That's why, you know, our kids go to a school in what's called a progressive district, which is like saying it's okay if you don't want to sit at your desk, if you want to stand. But somebody had to label it that to make it okay.
Yeah, it's understandable.
Instead of just saying, hey, you think better when you're on your feet. There, one thing in the documentary that is cool is when you're talking about this creativity, you focus on the Michael Jordan Hall of Fame speech, which I know a lot of people say it's the worst Hall of Fame speech ever, but I loved it because I loved the anger behind it. And they said that he created things in his head that weren't even necessarily there, but then addressed them all, you know, one by one. Mm-hmm. And you could see this is what made him go. You know, this is where it came from.
Yeah.
And it's not like he sat down and never told us that before, you know, other than we all know the being passed over in the high school game.
Right.
But the creativity part to get yourself up and going is a constant thing for them.
Yeah.
Like, it never ends for these
the
great ones.
Jordan part, that was all, I agree with you, and it's one of my favorite parts of the movie because, like you said, you know, everyone sort of criticizes Jordan, but that's true. The guy dominated. I mean, what do you want from the guy? This is what drove him. He, you know, and it's very relatable. We all, anyone trying to do anything, you know, confronts people that are trying to get in your way. They don't believe in you. Mm-hmm. And you know, that can really be a driver for creativity and motivation. Jordan was incredibly angry about it. He kept that inside. He used that to fuel his passion, to prove people, to dominate people, to express himself and his creative abilities.
You know, there's so many great athletes that are referenced and that are part of this film. Tiger Woods, of course, the famous, showing him at, you know, whatever, 2-3 years old, hitting a golf club, which is amazing. Serena Williams and Venus Williams, but the showing the how their father coached them and used creative tactics to expand what tennis was. That was really interesting to me because I don't know if those were the normal techniques.
Well, and Justin,
in
tennis, he was creative in finding an outlet for his daughters in an area in a lifestyle that was very unlikely. So before they even got on the court to be creative, he was creative in creating.
But it almost seems like even when they're throwing the racket up, that footage that is almost encapsulates what we're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. The people look at Richard Williams, Williams' father. That guy's such a silly guy and what is he doing, and they started so young, whatever, but it looks silly, but the guy is in a way has his own genius and sort of really in a way like a simple genius to all these really that look crazy, these techniques that he was having them do. Like I saw him playing, they were playing tennis with a baseball bat basically for hand-eye coordination, and that makes sense to me.
Totally.
I mean, that's a great drill, you know, but people thought he was sort of crazy. Like, who is this guy? What is he doing?
And he knew, you know, when Venus Williams played in her first U.S. Open, and he was asked at a press conference, and he said, if you think she's good, just wait till you see Serena. You know, he knew.
She's going to be better, right?
And the thing about, what's interesting about them in particular is with this greatness quality, they have it, and they didn't even play full-time schedules as professional athletes because they were encouraged in their life to have other interests. And so, you know, it's something that they had that ability to learn quickly and, you know, rage on their very specific things and still had other things outside of their life. That, so it wasn't their only obsession. But when you're great, when you have it, you've got it.
Well, yeah, and then people were jealous. I mean, let's go back. I mean, people were jealous when they started dominating the sport, you know, and they're saying, oh, well, they play this way and that way. And
found
you know,
ways to critique what they were doing. Yeah,
but I mean, tennis is great where it's just you and the opponent and there's no politics. It's just who wins.
Right.
So what can you can't really
you can't
stop
that.
You can't stop that. It's not subjective, you know.
One other area which I think is playing out as we see with youth sports right now is this, you know, this rate when you take the idea of rage to master, there seems to be a movement to get kids to be very specific in their training. Meaning if you're going to be a baseball player, you play baseball and baseball only. But talking to Jerry Rice or talking to Wayne Gretzky, just two examples, Michael Jordan comes to mind too, they were well-rounded in the sports they were playing. And the minute that hockey season was over, Gretzky talks about putting the bag downstairs and getting his baseball glove and playing baseball. Or, you know, Jerry Rice didn't actually start playing football till what, sophomore, junior of high school. You get you see that there's some sort of benefit to the idea of being well-rounded and not being so specific in the training for what might be next.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's true in all walks of life. You know, the less well-rounded we are, I think the worse you are off in what you choose specifically to do. I even think, like, I'm just saying, like a scientist or engineer, you know, they should study music because then you're not so narrow-minded. You can't make discoveries if you're just in your own sort of vortex. You got to pull from outside places or other fields, and that's how innovation happens. Not just being so specific.
Well, they brought up in the film, you have the Beatles referenced. Paul McCartney and John Lennon talking about having original spontaneity and then discipline, and how every time they sat down, whether it took 30 minutes or 40 hours, they were gonna have a song, and each song was gonna be different. It was decidedly that way, you know. Greatness isn't just related to about the arts, the sports. You know?
It's a fascinating documentary to look at what makes people great. Gabe Polsky, the award-winning documentary.
And I'm sorry, the footage of Pelé's coach smoking on the sidelines, you can't get enough of that.
There's great footage in this film, In Search of Greatness, which is in theaters now. Gabe, congratulations, and thanks for being with us.
Yeah, no, it's a pleasure. I appreciate it.